It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 229. Take it easy. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some five stars. What is going on? On everybody, I hope this podcast finds you in high spirits. And if not, don't worry, I got you. You'll leave in a better mood. Well, listen, your baby boy is truly filled with so much love, so much joy. I am back from Toronto. I am back to work. I'm back to, you know, my little schedule, trying to get my life together because Toronto, y'all showed out, okay? Truly, just from our Real Talk diversity panel, we had our karaoke night, okay? The Bryson Wynn present the main event. Listen, there was just so much love in the building. I did not know the Purple Pants posse ran so deep in Toronto. And you know, there are times that I will meet people and they say they listen to the podcast. And you know, it's, you know, clear that they're a casual listener. And listen, that's quite all right. I respect anybody that even knows the name of the podcast, or I respect anybody that know my name, okay? But when I tell y'all how deep the posse ran, okay, I had some of my posse members, Miss Ashley Dawn, pull up to our event 8 months pregnant. She said, I couldn't miss the opportunity to not see my baby boy. And I'm just like, not 7 months pregnant coming to see me. And again, it's just like, when I say we go together, posse, because the connection that we have, my girl Amanda, who is a loyal, loyal Purple Pants posse member, every time the podcast comes up, for 3 years strong, she posted it to her story. And so it was just so amazing to see so many of my posse members. I got to meet one of the posse members. Mom was in the building and her mom was just pouring into me. And I got a chance to meet her towards the end of the night. Jatia was like, Bryce, you didn't meet this young lady. And I was like, oh, who, what? So when I just tell y'all, whew, so much love. I mean, the event in Toronto was truly, 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 truly amazing. Okay, and y'all know how I get stressed out. You know, my temper be short. Sometimes I don't eat properly because I am so anxious. And, you know, the name of this podcast is Take It Easy. Sometimes we have these expectations that we need to fulfill and we don't take it easy on ourselves. And, you know, I had a little situation where when DZ and I, we were going to the morning show in Toronto and, you know, just to promote that we were there promoting. Oh, and how could I forget the Empower Inc. event that we had where we sponsored 5 women from Canada and from the U.S. To fly into Toronto. We paid for their hotels while they had their mastectomy scars tattooed, you know, turning something that can be so painful and such a dark cloud for people into something so beautiful. And that experience was so amazing. And again, just to be in the room with those beautiful women and to hear their stories and just to know that like this little show, that Survivor that we're on, you know, we are, you know, going to cities watching Survivor. But like, you know, the good that we really can do was just like truly, 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 truly amazing. I mean, whew, just truly touched the baby boy's heart. But again, take it easy sometimes on yourself. And again, I don't know who needs to hear this, mainly myself. But, you know, Wendell and I were going to the morning show in Toronto. And, you know, just to promote all the things that we were doing, the diversity panel, the Empower Inc. and our
Toronto show. And I'm like a worry bee. Like, you know, Wendell is we need a list. We need this. We need that. Me, I just internalize and I just worry. Like, you know, I'm thinking about the logistics. What time I need to get up? What time I need to do this? What time tomorrow? Who's flying in? It's supposed to snow. Like, you know, I'm just such a worrier. And I hadn't eaten since I had been in Toronto. And so we get to the morning show. And again, you know, I've done press before. You know, I've talked about all of these things. I am live on the air, y'all. And they asked me a question. And I really felt like, you know, that Wendy Williams, where she has on the Halloween costume and she faints. I really thought I was having a moment like that. Like, they asked me this question and I started talking and it just seemed like I could not finish a sentence. And then, like, my mind just went blank. And like, I'm literally like on live TV. And thank God for Wendeezy, because clearly Wendeezy knows me enough to know that, you know, that something seemed off. And so Wendeezy just cut me off and kind of like, you know, helped me in that little segment. And I just was really like beating myself up, like, oh my God, like, how could I drop the ball? Like, you know, just so upset. And then, you know, Wendell was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Like, and I really thought, like, oh my God, I don't think I put anything in my mouth in the last like 2 days. And so, like, again, I know we have so much going on and we want everything to be perfect, but we got to take it easy. We got to take care of ourselves. We have to eat properly. We got to hydrate. You know, we can't be any good to others. We can't have a good time if we're not taking care of ourselves. And so, baby boy was like, okay, let me get back to this hotel. Let me eat, let me drink, and, you know, recharge myself, because truly when we go to these events, I try to give 1,000%. I know when DZ gives 1,000%, I don't know. Some people think that it's like, oh, y'all just going around party. Like, no, I feel like I am going here to meet the posse, to meet these people, to talk, to interact. I know some people are shy. And if there's somebody here that somebody wants to see, I'm going to make it happen. Like, so again, it's just like, it may seem easy, but your baby boy wants to ensure that I can say hello, have a conversation. And again, not just say hello. Like, I want to have a meaningful connection. And so, again, at times that can be very draining of my spirit. And so I just have to make sure that, like, you know, in order to give myself, because I have to put into myself. And so, but Toronto, when I tell y'all, was amazing, from all of the Big Brother Canada people, from all of the Drag Race, from all of the survivors. Shout out to Kevin, the winner of Big Brother. When I tell you, I love Kevin. Also, shout out to Jedson. Okay. Listen, we just gonna leave that there. We had done an interview with ET Canada maybe 2 weeks before, and I was like, ooh, I like me some Jedson. But you know, sometimes how you'll meet people and they don't give the same energy, or like, you know, when they see this big bubbly personality, they run from it. Jedson was like so amazing. There were so many countless people that I was like just so excited to meet. My girl Jatia showed up. Child, she showed up and showed out. Okay. Derek Frazier from Big Brother. There was just so many amazing people. Marianne, Omar, shout out to Abraham. Eric Abraham. He always comes to our Bryce and Wynn Presents. And I just love Abraham. He is just, he's like that uncle that always comes and supports. And sometimes he had been telling me for the longest time, he's like, you know, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, Bryce, and I listen to the podcast. And I don't think, like, I mean, of course I believed him, but I think during this trip in Toronto, he was telling me, he was like, I don't know how you have that energy for the podcast. He's like, I need to listen to the podcast to get me up. So shout out to Eric Abraham. We appreciate him. He showed up. There was just so many people. I feel like I'm missing so many people. But Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. Okay. Listen, I have no regrets. We did the thing. Shout out to our official sponsors of the Bryce and Wynn Presents, our Toronto, to Global TV, to Stack TV, and Loving Grit Philly. Again, the event could not have been possible without you. Whew, baby. Yeah, baby boy had a time in Toronto, and we will definitely be back, okay? One thing's for certain, two things for sure. We will be back in Toronto because the love was there. Now, mind you, I do want to come back in the summertime outside of an event, because the city of Toronto, beautiful, you know, cold, you know, the snow was snowing, but definitely a beautiful city. And I'm just really excited for this week's episode. Okay. So let me give you the rundown. We have the church announcements. Outside of that, we've got Jatia Hart Taylor is here and Potomac has wrapped their three-part reunion, and Jatia and I are breaking it down and giving our opinion on what we think. Miss Barb stops by for Barb's message. And of course, you know, we got the freak of the week. So listen, let's keep this podcast party rolling. Let's get into the church announcements. And for your church announcements this week, I just want to remind y'all that the Survivor News is back. Wendell, Jack, and myself covered episode 1 of season 44. So if you have not listened to that episode, go back and listen to it in wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can head over to YouTube, Bryce Isaiah, and get into Survivor News. Also, Philadelphia, if you are in the Philadelphia area, we are doing a pop-up watch party this Wednesday. Okay, March 8th at the Winston. So pull up if you want to pull up. It also happens to be Wendy's birthday. So we are, you know what, doing a little birthday event for Wendy's. So if you are in the Philadelphia area or the surrounding areas, pull on up. You know, you never know who might pull up with us. So we would love to see you. And also, as you know, the Bryce and Wynn Present Tour 44 has kicked off. And Toronto, listen, y'all did the thing. And so we are headed to Los Angeles, March 15th, Seattle, March 29th, April 5th. We're headed to Atlanta, April 12th, Pittsburgh, May 3rd, Boston, May 10th. We're back in Philadelphia, and we bring it on home, May 24th. Am I saying the date right? Yes, May 24th in New York City. Tickets are available. Click the link in my Instagram bio, or you can head over to the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram page and follow that and get into all of the goodies that we have. So listen, okay, we out here. Now let's get into the menu, the menu.
It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back for our final installment of Real Housewives of Potomac this season. The three-part reunion series has come to an end. And after leaving Toronto with me, Jatia is like she was in Toronto. She is here with me to recap the reunion of season 7 of Housewives of Potomac. Welcome back to the podcast, Jatia.
I am so happy to be here. Can I say I love Toronto? Oh my gosh, the fans were amazing.
Yes,
I remember at least 75% of the night.
Oh, child. Okay. If y'all don't know, okay, I always tell this story on when we were on Kagyan, when I got voted out. You know, I went to Ponderosa and I thought like I was going to meet like, you know, David, Lindsay, Garrett, I thought I was going to meet David and Garrett. Child, David got on his private jet and left.
Flew away.
And when I got to Ponderosa, Garrett was not there. He was in the shower and I met him later in the night.
I thought he was in the closet.
Oh, don't do that. When they told us somebody else was coming out, I was like, I want to make sure I don't do what somebody else did. I got ready. You know, Jatia came out. So excited to kiki with her. We went to the bar. She had one shot. Now, granted, she hadn't eaten, so I give it. She had one shot. 10 minutes later, she was on top of the Ponderosa bar. And
from there on out,
I have coined that Jatia, she one drink with me. Okay.
That's all it takes. I like to have fun. And I totally did in Toronto. And I even let you be the big spoon.
Yes. Okay. That's because you were done. And I was like, okay, payback is.
That was the 25% of the night that, you know, was a little fuzzy. I do remember that I lost my spoon dominance, but that's all right. Because we're going to have plenty of times to rectify that.
Yes.
But let's get into it because we have three whole parts and the last one was 90 minutes.
Yes. Needless to say, I was so happy for you to receive your flowers, though, because when the fans, or, you know, like I like to say, when the family got to see that you were there, the way that you were received, the way that people were lining up to meet you, the way that I was just so happy that they got to meet the Jatia that I know, which is wild, all over the place, and just having a great time with people. So again, shout out to Toronto, because they was loving on my sister, loving on me, and loving on everybody. But yeah, I just was so happy for you, you know, to receive your flowers in the survivor realm of the community.
People
loved you.
And I love them. Like I, all the introvert came out and I was just having a great time and everybody was so nice.
Yes, that was really amazing. So shout out to Toronto. But yes, back to Real Housewives of Potomac. We had just three parts.
Three whole parts.
I mean, it's so much to get into, but Candace, this episode.
Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to, I was going to be like, can we just get straight to
Candace? Let's just get
I cannot. Like, she, oh my gosh, I want her to heal. I don't know how many times Dottie done slapped upside the head with a purse or whatever has happened, but she has no chill. She has no chill. She does, like, they had this beautiful moment talking about, like, colorism and the Black community and people, you know, actually identifying with her and understanding where she's coming from. And then she goes and just throws it out the window.
And so let's also, like, you know, in part two, they brought up the colorism because, and we've talked about it on this podcast, where the fans, and I feel like Candace has fueled that.
She need a narrative. But she is savage with her words. And I don't know if she doesn't realize that.
And I feel like people need to realize that words can cut very deeply. Like me as the younger brother of four brothers, like my brothers could physically beat me up. But the one thing that they never had on me was my mouth. And, you know,
absolutely.
My mouth.
As a youngest child, you have to learn that, you know, you can't hit him with the fist. So you got to hit him with it.
Right.
You gotta and she does that consistently. And I think she honestly has learned that from her mother.
But I have learned that, like, my mouth can hit like a fist.
So
I just feel like I love Candace. I think that she is great for the show. At times, I just feel like it's so frustrating to, like, want to like her because, like, you know, one, when they brought up the colorism, I'm just like, okay, bravo, like, great. 3 minutes to talk about this, such an important topic. And a lot of people were dragging Giselle because Candace was like, you know, and people, when I say something, they make it out. And Giselle is like, I'm confused as to what that has to do with the color of your skin. And a lot of people were dragging Giselle
about
that.
But I think she proved the point because, I mean, like, we had, like I said, we had this poignant moment and then you, like, your mouth, girl, your mouth is reckless.
And although I do not like, although Wendy is not my favorite.
Wendy came with it, with the knowledge. She dropped the knowledge.
Her checking Candace in that moment. But in the same moment, then Candace goes to say, well, I don't apologize because, like, it's just like, well,
she is incapable of that. So I think literally this goes back to her mother issues. It seems like her mother uses this kind of psychological warfare and says these things that hurt Candace so bad. And that is learned behavior. And, like, you can never have she needs to resolve that. Or she's going to pass that on. She's talking about having kids. And you cannot do that. You cannot, like, it's some words you cannot take back. I also think we saw this with the Mia and her friend whose name escaped
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. Whatever.
Now,
Keisha. Whatever.
But wait. I'm not ready to get off of Candace and Giselle yet.
Okay,
because it's like, if you are talking about colorism in the Black community, and then you are saying that, again, one, like, let's just be clear. Colorism is a real thing. The roots of it are, it's rooted back to slavery, the preferential treatment between light and dark. And, you know, people aspire, the lighter you are, the closer that, you know, you can pass as white. However, it's the same thing you can go up the steps with colorism and you can go down the steps with colorism. And so, like, don't think that the opposite end of that does not have feelings, emotions, and things tied to that, because it's the truth. And so I just, for me, it was just like really disappointing in Candace to the words that she was slinging at Giselle. I'm just like, okay, but girl, how?
She goes for the jugular. She like blacks out and just like says the most hurtful things. I mean, even when like you could see a you could even see a resolution coming between Chris and Giselle, and he wanted to accept, and she had to throw salt in it. And he even had to check her a little bit then and was like, this ain't, you know, this is me and her. This is not you.
And Giselle and Chris thing, right? I'm like, again, y'all know I love my girl Giselle.
She's just not very bright. Let me break it down.
And mind you, regardless, her story has not changed. She has said very clearly that Chris made her feel uncomfortable. She never said he made any advancements. And now it's like, I feel like because Candace does have a higher vocabulary and can use words a little bit more sharply, now they're trying to go for semantics. And like, maybe that might have passed over Giselle's head, but it's like, she never accused him of anything.
It totally passed over Giselle's head. I think if Candace had not been around, it would have been resolved, but she keeps bringing it up because she wants to, you know, like fight, and she's hurt about everything. And I don't even understand how she can be so hurt about things that people say when her mouth, her verbal diarrhea,
horrible,
is like scalding. Like, and I think Giselle take it real well.
Well, yeah, and that's my issue with Giselle. She doesn't like, I wish that she would give them a little more oomph. And in this conversation with Chris, I feel like she was demanding an apology, which I feel like she was deserving. However,
I thought he already apologized. How many times he got to apologize? She was being shady by calling him a sneaky link. She was doing that for TV.
That part is like, okay, yeah, I get that. But I think where Giselle messed up is that, like, because she kept saying, like, you know, well, what did he do? And she's like, he created the situation. And I think where Giselle, it could have been received so much more if she were like, I take an accountability for walking into that room with you. Like, you know, like she just didn't own her part.
So I think all she needed to say is, this is how I felt, Chris. And, you know, you apologize. I know you didn't do it. You didn't intentionally try to make me feel that way, but I appreciate you acknowledging my feelings. And they all could have moved on. But I think his wife, Candace, continually bringing it up, Giselle not being the brightest bulb in the, you know, the box. And also, I did not like his tone. Like, I didn't like him yelling. I do never appreciate that, especially when it's a man to a woman. Just my opinion. Maybe it's old fashioned.
And again, right. I completely get that. But it seemed, in my opinion, Andy was on his side. And so they kind of sort of let it ride. And another thing that was like taking me out was that Giselle said to Candace very clearly, I feel like you're the one that blew this out of the water.
I agree.
If in that moment on episode 2 that Candace heard her and was like, I don't think that would ever be Chris's intention. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'm going to talk to Chris. And, you know,
they could have left it at that.
It would have been at that. And that's the whole thing.
And that's what everybody else does. So that's what when Juan Dixon come up, she'd blow it off. Ashley is masterful at this. Wendy and her husband with the smile and Eddie, you know, everybody just laughs it off because they know it's not true. But Candace just internalizes it and runs with it.
And I mean, that's
what makes her ugly to me, because I don't know. She don't seem like the brightest bulb in the box either. But, you know, like, I just need her to let go of the emotions and stop being so just damn freaking skin scalding with her vocabulary and every comment. Like, everything ain't got to be the next world war.
And my thing is, y'all keep saying this, what Giselle does for her storyline, outside of the re-release of Deep Space, what was your storyline, Candace?
She bought a house and she was trying to get pregnant. I agree. Look,
you kept this alive. It's almost as if for your doing as well. And again, it's just like, the more power she needs, she could take a lesson from the Grand Dom.
And she
could take a lesson from the Grand Dom and exit, leave, boom, boom, and be done. But again, I just felt like
then what would she have to talk about? So that's the thing. And like, I just want Chris to stop letting himself be drugged into his wife's drama because she just be bringing him in. He seems quite level-headed. He already apologized about, you know, oh, if, you know, the situation was awkward and da-da-da-da-da. And he seems to be able to get over it, but not her. So I don't know. She ain't doing him no good. I feel like for a little bit, she is dragging him down a bit in some of these situations.
I also feel like very similar to like Real Housewives of Atlanta. When anyone would come on the show, it seemed like if you wanted to secure your spot, if you wanted to whatever, you got to go against the queen. And it just seems like, why isn't the same energy given to Ashley and her girlfriend? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're, like, and Giselle has had the same story. Giselle has just stated how she felt. And I just seems like, it seems like it's a little extra.
Candace just need to let it go. That's the point. But she is in, I don't know. She seems emotionally stunted in some way.
But she's a lovely girl. And don't get me wrong. Like when Candace is having fun, when Candace is like,
She's visually pretty. You know what? She visually pretty, but she ugly on the inside. And like, I don't know. Like she just seems like she does this with her mom. She does this with her husband. Like who are you nice to, Heffa? Like get out of here. Like, I don't know. You need to fix that.
Now, the friends of the show that they brought Jacqueline on, but let's get to Jacqueline next. However,
I know who you're going to bring up.
I felt like Shasha held it down. I felt like...
Okay, I did like Shasha. I'm Charisse not gonna lie. With her blue coochie? Is that what this is?
With the blue coochie pants. But she came... She stood her ground. I feel like Andy validated her because I kept feeling like throughout the season, Karen kept being like, why is Charisse around? Nobody wants her around. She's just, you know, wants to be. Da-da-da. And Andy basically said, well, actually, we asked Charisse to come back.
Which is huge because like all the housewives want to ask to be come back. You know, he was like, she didn't call us. So I like Shasha on the reunion. She came. She held her ground. She said what she had to say. She didn't bring no extra drama. All the ladies agree. You know, like we like having her around. So, she might have a champs glass in the future.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's back.
She's officially divorced from Eddie.
And she got 50%.
50-50.
And I just also think it's so interesting. Like at any point that they wanted to validate Charisse, Karen would like, you know, the funeral thing. They're like, who wants to like that's not a clout chasing thing, you know, like, but Karen's like, oh, don't talk about my mother. This ain't talking about your mom.
Okay? Yeah, I know. She tried to deflect on the whole talk about your mom thing. I don't know. Like the grand dame did not come out amazing in this reunion. So I don't know. She needs to give that up. I don't know, whatever she has against Shasha, it ain't working. So she needs to move on.
In my opinion, it just more so validates what Shasha is saying. And the reason why she doesn't want Shasha around is because like she knows that her and Charisse aren't on good terms. And Charisse probably has some things that she could potentially.
I still don't understand why her and Charisse aren't on good terms.
Charisse brought up on the last season that Charisse was a housewife, she brought up Blue Eyes. She brought Blue Eyes into the conversation. And so Karen did not like that. However, over the weekend, Charisse, Robin, Ashley, and Giselle were spotted out and they were doing TikToks. I don't believe that season 8 has started because, you know, the rumors are that allegedly the rumors are that they are not going to be offering Robin or Charisse a contract. But we'll see. I'm okay with that. No, that's okay. We like Robin. And again, here's my thing.
Robin could be a friend.
No, because let's just say this. When has the Housewives of Potomac ever been this hot of a topic since this whole Juan thing? Like, there's no way that Bravo is not going to, and they're going to hold Robin accountable. So, like,
I'm okay either way. Like, she could be a friend. She could not be a friend.
No, she needs to be a housewife.
I think they need some new people.
No, I mean, I think they could ask. I mean, that we can get rid of, and I say this respectfully, we can get rid of Wendy, and we can get rid of Ashley.
I want to keep Ashley because Ashley is a great pot stirrer, and I think she's articulate in putting together an argument. So I'd like to keep Ashley. We can let Wendy go.
We can let Wendy go, but I feel like Wendy has learned the game of sides, right? And so I feel like she has curated her side with Candace and Karen.
Because remember, at the beginning of the season, she was on the outs. She was way on the outs. And so I think she does learn, like, you have to have somebody on your side or nobody is going to stick up for you. So I think that's also what happened with Monique. And that's why Monique was gone.
Monique left.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I didn't like.
I like Monique. Monique has been my favorite. I love Monique. So
I love to hate Monique. But here's the thing. I never wanted her gone. Like, you know, on these shows, you have to have the people that you like and the people that you don't like. Just because I don't like you doesn't mean, when I say I don't like you, it doesn't mean I don't know the people. Like, I like them all. But what I'm saying is, like, on the show, and my opinion, if I were to put myself in that situation. However, I loved I loved Monique on the actual show. Like, I thought that, like, she preferred the girl.
Yeah, I love the drama. I love the drama. I loved her drama with the mother-in-law. I wasn't a huge fan of Chris. I also thought she was kind of chaotic in what she wanted to do and what she, you know, what if she wanted to sell candles or have a Not For Lazy Moms podcast or whatnot. I don't think that ever really gelled in her brand. But, she served the look. She was beautiful. Her she kids were houses, super cute.
Had the kids. Like, I like
four houses. Just, okay.
Okay. Oh, you don't have a house?
No, I have four. Okay.
So I just, you know, for me, when I put myself in those type of arguments, I just never sided with her on the majority of things. Now, us getting to Jacqueline and Mia, it was pointless.
But, you know, Mia, oh gosh.
But
another dull crayon.
But you have to agree. I think this season definitely warmed up for me. For Mia, last season, I was like, she could go. And this season, what I have realized about Mia is that she's consistently herself. And I think that she is great for the show. Because reason why I like Mia as opposed to a Wendy, right? She can hold an argument, like, she'll argue, but she makes up. And my thing is, like, when you hold these arguments and then you don't like it, then it's like, girl, it's no, like, I like the fact that, like, she can open up. And then for Wendy, it's like, you got caught lying, then you want to pedal it back. And then for me, I also feel like people that can, like, she is clearly successful. She is clearly smart. Like, you know, but I do not like people that have a very high vocabulary and try to wield those words to belittle people when in actuality it's like, okay, so you using some big words. What else is new? Like, you know, like,
I don't like how Wendy fights. I'm not a fan of how Wendy fights. I don't even know if I have, like, a winner in their little tiff between them. I don't know. I don't even understand what the tiff was about. Whatevs. Like, it was just drama. The thing that I do not like about Mia is how she treated her friend Tasha, Keisha, LaToya, whatever her name is. Jackie, if you're nasty. I don't like how she treated Jackie if you're nasty. Like, that is supposed to be your friend from way back. And again, back to these, there's some words you can never take back. Like, I get it that you guys are arguing and squabbling, but, like, when everybody's eyes at the tables are, like, in the back of their head, what y'all are saying, like, it was a little private. I do like that Mia is very open and very free, and she shares her surgery, what she done had done from the weave to her corn removal surgery or whatever. So I like that. I didn't like how she hit below the belt with her friend. I do think she wants her friend to be subservient to her, like, she's up here and Jacqueline, Tasha, Toya is down there, you know, so.
Here's where Jacqueline lost me. When she admitted to lying about something to make Mia look better. I'm like, okay, you know, at this point, then I don't know if you're telling the truth or if you're lying.
I don't know one thing that they went back and forth about that was, like, significant. It wasn't. It was just, like, squabbling and really just, like, cattiness for nothing.
And then my thing was like, Mia, you brought that whole box out and then you were like, it's too many papers. Like, girl, what?
Nothing. You know what? I think they cut it out. They must have cut out whatever she said because she had nothing. That box was cuter. I mean, maybe the box was the secret. I don't know. Maybe the secret was the box. Who the hell knows?
So back to Candace and Giselle, when Giselle was talking about her fibroids and her hysterectomy, and the nerve of Candace to then weld out, you old dried up. I'm like, girl, not you age shaming. Not you age shaming.
Correct. Because you know what? That old dried up thing and pop, three kids out of it. And you talking about IVF. So you, if anybody, you know, wants to talk about women's health, and that journey, like, come on, girl, goodbye.
Right. It's like, pick a side, sis. You can't be the victim and then be the bully. That's where I just, I don't know.
I mean, she does it on colorism. She does it on who got a business. She does it on everything. Like, when it's about her, it's wrong. But when she's doing it to other people, it's okay. So that's, yeah, I can't. I don't know. Like, she's such an ugly little girl to be such a pretty little thing.
Now, I will tell you this. She gathered Miss Ashley with that house thing. She was like, not the same person that was coming for me when I was up in the Dottie roof. And now you can't get a roof with Michael. Now that I was here for Candace. Like, you know, that is within the realm, I feel like, where you can gather somebody. But
I agree. So I don't know. Ashley's storyline, like, I am glad that, you know, she's no longer with Michael. I'm super sad to hear. That, you know, whatever she was doing with the divorce, you know, like, why would you do that? Why would you buy a whole ass house with somebody you trying to disentangle yourself with? Right. Now,
let's get this on the record. Right. You used to live in Alexandria.
I did. Yes. Okay. I lived in Alexandria.
You're under a disposition. Just answer the questions. Yes or no?
Okay. Sorry.
You lived in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes.
You had a multi-level, fully furnished, updated, beautiful home.
Yes. On a third of an acre, which is a lot.
Oh, I was about to. Listen, this is the disposition.
Sorry.
Were you a third of an acre?
I sure was. Yes, I was.
Was your mortgage $13,000 a month?
Absolutely not. So I went, I actually did the math. I made the math and I looked it up. And so I was like, okay, she must have like a $2.25 million house. I saw that. I mean, it didn't look like no 2.25. I mean, the DMV area is very expensive, but like, it ain't giving what she's supposed to be giving for that much money. Like, I don't know. So maybe she needs to think about what she can afford for her family. But I don't know. That's bad juju to be wrapping yourself up with a dude who, you know, screaming at your baby when you're trying to take him to your mom and them house. Like, that's not the type of person you want to be wrapped up with. And I know you have to be because you have two kids with him, but like, it's a certain line and you just need to do less, as the kids say.
Yeah. Another thing that has come out in the news, Michael Darby is suing Candace for $2.5 million for defamation of character for saying that he wants to give fellatio to men. Now, we all know that in the housewife rules, they cannot sue each other. And if they sue each other, it is like a breach of contract. And, you know, they could lose their peach or whatever. And I would assume that the contract kind of like extends to like the people in their household. So it is very interesting that like when Ashley's divorce is final, then Michael sues Candace because, you know, Michael do not like Candace.
Well, first of all, you said it, dude. You said it. So don't be mad. You know, not only that, but
allegedly, because like I don't got $2.5 million to get to know Michael Darby. Okay, allegedly.
Well, old girl said he said it. So I'm a repeat what she said. It's hearsay. But and you knew he was very flirty or whatever. I do think, I don't know, maybe he got a case. I think he just need to move on and live his life though. And what he gonna get? I mean, I don't know what they got. Two nickels to rub together. So I guess you could get, I don't know, 2.25 of a nickel. I don't know. But he just needs to move on. Like, he needs to move on. He needs to live her. They need to separate and divorce, like, for real, for real. You don't do that. You don't, like, you don't go into business. You don't get into deals with people who you don't want to be fooled up with. And clearly, I don't know, whatever she need to do, it need to be separate from him as possible. That's my advice. So I hope she takes it. I think she's a lovely girl. I love to hear about her and Giselle and their little cross Bravo romances. That was really cute.
Yes. And I'm here for Giselle being 50 and the young tenderoni in his right. 30s.
So clearly they ain't take the vagina because the hysterectomy, you know, the uterus might be gone, but the vajayjay is still there, clearly. So I'm loving it. I hope she lives her best life. You know, she got 5 of them in rotation.
And so, listen, more power to her. I'm tired of people age shaming people. Listen, Giselle looks good. And the reality of it is I feel like a lot of them.
Not her clothes, but she does. She looks good. She has 3 lovely daughters. And, you know, I am very glad to hear, you know, that she's doing her thing. Her podcast is popping. Clearly, I don't really understand how she gets money. But, you know, I'm sure, you know. She doing it. She got the house, you know, redone, the entryway and everything like that. I think she lives within her means. I'm good on, you know, at least from the business case. Giselle, she had her makeup line, you know, allegedly I heard maybe she might have some candles coming out.
Oh, child, not everybody. Candles. Stop saying this. Stop peddling those lies. Now, let's get to this. Juan Dixon and Robin. Now, first of all, I feel like Bravo was so shady throughout this whole reunion process, right? So we know Robin was on Watch What Happens Live right after the season finale ended. We know that she and Giselle, after the show ended, and these rumors were circulating about this lady who is in the DMs of people.
I saw a sketch of her.
Oh, child, listen. And, you know, they went on Reasonably Shady and talked about it. They openly talked about it. And then they said for the Patreon for $5, they were going to get into the hotel receipt. First of all, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
The Patreon, not the receipt. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I do. And Andy dragged her. And he should have. Because, like, look, that is his job. He's like, I'm paying for this information. I thought it was masterful how she just managed not to bring it up.
And so let's talk about
it. I ain't mad at it, though.
Neither, like, mind you, I feel like all of these people on these shows, especially Carlos King and all these people, like, you're on a reality show. How are you not? And it's like, I feel like I feel like Robin is like the realest one on these shows. She's level-headed. She seems like
she's fun too. Like when she's
right, I feel like she is. I would be Robin's friend. Robin reminds me of a friend that I used to have. Like, you know, like I like Robin. She seems real.
I could be friends with Robin. She goes out, like she knows how to separate. She, you know, can apologize. She could tell you how she feels without like going too low, but you know, she could throw a good jab in there too.
And she not like right. And I just feel like for me, yes, it's a reality show, but like, let's be like Andy, like, stop playing with us. Like, don't act like y'all don't line out these storylines. Don't act like these scenes aren't, like, you know, put together. So then all of a sudden, why would I want to bring a deep, dark secret of, like, it just doesn't make sense. Why would she offer that? And why do you think that she would want to offer that? Now, were you the same way with Teresa? Did you offer up on New Jersey when they were committing them crimes? Did you say that?
With Erica Jane? Was it Erica Jane? Did you grill the hell out of Erica Jane?
I mean, they did afterwards. But that also was a part of, like, her storyline. It came to light. Like, it did not come to light while they were filming. So why in the... Like, Robin's not that desperate to, like, I just got what Robin was saying. If it came up, I would addressed it. It didn't come up. And like Robin said, like, I was prepared for it to come up. And then Andy's like, well, why wouldn't you just give it up? Don't you think, like, no.
So I do think it kind of came up with, what's her name, and was asking about the girl. She was slinking around.
Karen messed up when she said she looked like me and she was from there. And like, I would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And again, the second that it became public and like the rumors were swirling, you know, Robin talked about it, but she couldn't film. So how else? Like, and the reunion had already been filmed. Bravo was just mad that like
that they didn't catch
about
it.
Right. And now they couldn't use it for, because who's going to care about the reunion now when all of this is going on? So I just thought it was so shady how they like added that in. And then they going to, on the first episode when Giselle was like, you know, and he came into my room, and then they're going to get Robin saying, let's just be clear. I think it's inappropriate for any married man to be in a room. I said, ooh, Robin, Robin.
Yeah. So
I'm like, oh, lucky Ron Dixon is not here.
Look, I am very glad that, you know, she got away with it. And she did. She totally got away with it. That's what it is. Point blank, she got away with it. And if Candace want to be mad at it, Candace can be mad at it, because you know what you could have did? You could have shut the hell up, Candace, instead of kept bringing your, dragging your husband into the fray. Okay. Because what everybody else do is they defend their husband to the death, turn it on somebody else. And I don't understand why Candace can't do that, because she's an emotional weenie.
I'm just confused as to why Candace was mad at Robin. What is happening to Chris ain't have nothing to do with Robin. Robin stood up for Chris.
She's mad because she feel like all the stuff that was happening about her husband
have to do with anything?
Because
with
she wanted
why?
The heat to be on somebody else. Though, to be honest, I think the husband's got it pretty bad this season. I mean, I think pretty much everybody's husband was
brought
up.
Except Ray.
Well, I guess maybe the only cheating.
Blue eyes.
Through the cheating. I mean.
But Ray ain't cheat.
I know, but I said through the cheating allegations. That has to do with his marriage. Just like Andy was saying in the reunion, like you brought up the whole thing with Blue Eyes, and that brings up Ray because that involves him. So I don't know, like I could have been able to see, I would have been all right with hearing less about the husbands. Like, I think that was like a little bit of a crutch. And also if it was something about the husbands, it should have been something between the wife and husband and not the wives. Because that, I don't know, like stop. What did Nene say? Use your line. You know, this your line. This you. You supposed to stay out of what?
Stay out of women's business.
Right. So
like a
bitch. Yes. So I thought that they dragged the husbands into it too much. And it's not the Real House Husbands. Okay. Leave Smiling Eddie alone. Okay. He's cute. His teeth are very white. He's a handsome guy. He supports his wife. And I think pretty much across the board, I was loving how the husbands were supporting the wives and trying to stay out of it, except for Chris, because his wife is crazy and would not let him stay out of it.
And half the time he arguing with her. So it's like, you just never know. But I just feel like Candace, you're fighting for a storyline, because it's like, why are you mad at Robin? Because Robin didn't tell you? Like,
you know what? To be quite honest, I enjoyed this season, but I would have appreciated if there would have been more like exterior storylines, like about people. I don't know. Like, it was just a lot of bickering and infighting. And I know it was great. We had the trips and everything else like that. But I don't know. I didn't like the whole dragging everybody's relationships through the mud. Like, I know it's already hard to be on a reality show and have your husband involved and, you know, people come taking shots for your people. Because I tell you what, you take a shot for my husband, it ain't going to be nowhere near good. I don't know. I don't even know what I would do. But like, it's none of your business, really. Yes, I'm on a reality show, but they needed other things to talk about, because this season was all whose husband's cheating, who husband this. And I really like, it's not about the husbands.
Another thing that I felt like was kind of sort of disrespectful was to Mia. When Mia was explaining the board members and the, like, she was making sense. Like, she tripped over her words, but again, if you know business, you know what she is saying. And I just felt like them laughing in her face. It's like, okay. But then y'all are quick to like, again, it's just like, but also that was just, it is real. This is where Giselle, I love Giselle, because she going to ask the question. So she was like, so did they revoke you guys' access to the account because you guys were, and here's another thing that was just like, beyond me. Why were Mia and G putting so much money into a rental home?
That is beyond me. Clearly, I don't know. Maybe they just like to spend money. I didn't understand. Like I get the business part and what she was trying to explain, how there's a board of directors and basically they got voted out of power. I got that.
Right.
She didn't say it. She didn't articulate that well at all. And I think like, you know, I think she was the CEO in name only, or some, you know, maybe she was on the board of directors, whatever. It's a lot of people like that who put in the spouses and stuff like that to be the name, the face, the CEO. And sometimes it depends on how your organization is structured. Maybe the CEO don't have no power. Well, that could be it. Could
clearly
be your
it's just a title clearly. And you getting a salary. So it's like they just put you on. Listen.
And look, she the name. She got the brand recognition. I get okay. it. Can I just say I do have a joint chiropractic office not too far from my house, which I thought it was cool the other day. I drove
that
by.
That is funny.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll go get adjusted.
In Chicago?
It was in Idaho, actually.
Oh.
So that was kind of funny. Yeah, because it's a kind of a really small town. I started to drive and be like, excuse me, is your owner Mia talking? But whatever. I just think, yeah, she is doing the best that she can. I think she, you know, has definitely come up. I love that she's honest. You know, she's like, look, I'll bust it open for some lobster. You know, keeping it real. I loved this season the most when the girls were going out and having
right.
fun. I loved
just like
the
them,
bachelorette party.
Right. I loved when they would go out and then after production would wrap and then they would tell the story.
Yes.
That for me was yes. like, and again, it just goes to show you the like, again, there's power
they
in
can
numbers,
get along.
And it's right.
And they can get along. I love it when they're supporting each other. Like, I wish, like, they went to each other's shows, but it was kind of snarky. I didn't really like that. But the best story of the season was the whole vagina revealing mm-hmm. in the bathroom. That was just funny. I like to see them go out and have a good time. And it seems like they do. I don't know. I think a lot of them have a lot of pressure to put on storylines. And so they are attacking and going at each other. I also just want to circle back to the fashions. The fashions were disappointing for me. I have to say, I think Shasha looked the best.
I think Shasha, she brought it. I also, now mind you, y'all going to just say, because I like Giselle, I also will say her dress looked it.
Busted.
Looked it best. Better on video. I thought, and again, I thought the Grand Dame 8, again, y'all know I love Robin. I didn't really like Robin's dress too much. I thought Mia was cute.
I liked Mia's dress when she was sitting down.
Yeah. I think, what's the girl name?
Jacqueline?
No. Wendy. I thought Wendy's dress could have been cute if that thing to the left. I don't know.
The bottom and the top was not the same dress.
Yeah.
So that's... I don't know. I think they could have came better, but I don't know. It's a lot, child. They fine. Candace, like, it was a good idea, but she was too small. In my opinion, she would in the dress swallowed her up.
So, yeah.
I'm looking at the picture right now. So, yeah, Wendy's top and bottom. I think we discussed this, but I like the Grand Dame's top. But
you know, the Grand Dame came. She always going to deliver.
I have to say, if I would give her the best dress. So I'm going to give it to Karen. I liked the top a lot. I'm looking at them standing. And so I think hers delivered the most. And of course, I don't know, like, did Giselle look at like Kim Kardashian in her covered gloves and be like, oh, that looked cute? Because it wasn't. And neither was she. Sorry.
I don't have a comment.
Yeah. Thank you. Just. Keep it real. Like,
I mean, I didn't think the dress looked that bad. Like, I mean,
but it didn't look good.
I mean, it didn't look bad.
It didn't look good.
The critique that I give Giselle is that, and one of the things that I admire about her is that, like, she don't try to keep up with these other girls. She don't try to be like, you know, don't get me wrong, Karen looked good. But do I feel like sometimes she dresses like, not eight, like, but what is her age? So no, I won't even say that. But I just feel
who,
like
Karen?
Yeah. Like I feel 60. Like
59, 60. I think she said that she had like a 59 birthday party.
Giselle, she used to be a first lady, and I feel like her
you
fashion
like
is for her fashion. I like she just consistent. If she like it, I love it. Like I think that fashion is about how you feel and what makes you feel comfortable. And I feel like at times Giselle dresses age appropriate. Like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, good for her. I think they all look better in the red dresses.
They ate in the red.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was the blue, but you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to be on a reality show. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they are all very successful Black women. I love watching the show. I identify with them in all in different ways, from being messy or having a reckless mouth or being, you know, an academic or, you know, just holding down your husband. I mean, I appreciate it. I even actually liked the little last song they played. What's the little reckless girl mouth name?
Candace.
I actually liked that song that they played at the end. Yeah, I still don't like her, but you know, potato, potato.
After reunion, she had announced, she went on Instagram, and let me see if it comes back up, because sometimes she announced she's going on tour.
Won't be there.
Okay. She's going to be in Boston March 17th. She's going to be in Potomac April 14th and 15th. Then we're going to take a little break. Then she's going to be in Washington, D.C. June 10th. St. Louis, July 23rd.
You got your tickets?
She's not coming to Philadelphia. It looks like she's doing the gay pride circuit. So, yeah. It's a little spaced out, but listen, you know, as somebody that is currently on tour, I respect the hustle of Candace. And
where is the Bryson Wynn Present going next?
So we will be in LA on March 15th, and then we'll be in Seattle on March 25th. And from Seattle, we'll be in LA. From LA, we'll be in Pittsburgh. From Pittsburgh, we'll be in Philadelphia. And from Philadelphia, we'll end it on home in New York.
All right. Well, I would suggest if anybody is close to a Bryce, or maybe if you just want to take a trip, I would highly suggest that they come to one of your events. Like I said, I had a fabulous time. It was a humdinger, if I do say so myself. So I had a great time at the Bryson Wynn Present. You guys know how to throw a party.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you for coming and bringing your friend Ja'Crazy in the building. And sometimes when we go to these events, I was telling Jatia before we get on, you know, depends on what Jatia we get. Sometimes she'll just keep a low profile and I'll always have to go check on her like, you good? You know, child, not this event. Jatia was up and down them steps. She was in the crowd. Child, she was serenading.
I was
people.
Serenading. Yes, yes. Okay. I had a little concert in the vestibule.
That was very interesting. Select. What song was you? Was you singing Kelly Price?
No, I was singing Shirley Murdoch as we lay. Hello. Oh. Job. It's morning and we slept the night away.
I was like, why is Jatia in? But I said, you know what? Just let her be great. So yeah, we've closed out another Real Housewife of Potomac season. And then we saw that The Ultimate Girls Trip Part 3 with
Yes. So Giselle, I'll be watching that. I love Portia. It. Portia's on there? I didn't know that.
Portia's on there. Heather from Salt Lake City. And I forgot the other ladies that are on there, but listen.
Oh, I think it's somebody from Miami, like either Miami or Beverly Hills. Oh, no. Oh, I know her name, Jabedia or something like that. Carla Jabedia. I don't know. But I watched that too. I actually even want to watch like Summer House because, you know, what's her name is dating Oh Boy from Summer House.
Ciao. He is cute though. Okay. So yeah. What's going on with you, the STEM queen, before we close it on out?
Well, you know, your girl is always busy. So I am starting the production of STEM Queens season 2. So that hopefully should be out by the end of this month. And you will see some familiar faces. If you are Survivor fans or Challenge fans, we might have a lady or two or Big Brother fan who you might know because there are so many women in STEM you guys don't even know about. And they have amazing stories. And I cannot wait to share them. So you can learn more at Jatia PhD, J-T-I-A PhD. And I'm just binging, you know, my favorite reality shows. Oh, speaking of Bravo Survivor crossover, we just saw Miss Cerie Fields on Watch What Happens Live. So I was so happy to see her and she looked amazing. So doing
Shout out to Savree. Yes, the queen. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Traitors, you know, she won as she should.
Won it all. Won it all. Won big. So I was so happy for her. She is such a, she is just as lovely in person as she mm-hmm. comes across on TV. So I'm just, you know, living a good life, excited to be hanging with the Purple Pants posse. Of course. Yes.
Well, we're always glad to have you. And thank you so much for another season of Potomac. And we'll see you. I'm sure Jatia will be back. So, yeah, we'll see you real soon. This has been your Purple Pants podcast coverage of The Real Housewives of Potomac.
It's morning and we slept the night away. Don't put it in.
No, it's going in. As we lay,
we forgot about tomorrow as we lay.
Yes, Jatia was playing that for me when I was getting up and leaving, and she was still there. I was like, girl, and you're not even playing the Kelly Price version. But all right, we're out. Bye.
Bye.
Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message for you. Barb's got a message for you. Oh, and I hope it comes true.
Hey, I recently read a passage that was so empowering. It stated that there will be times when standing alone feels too hard, too scary, and we'll doubt our ability to make our way through the uncertainty. Someone somewhere will say, "Don't do it. You don't have what it takes to survive the wilderness." This is when you reach deep into your heart and remind yourself, "I am the wilderness." Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves because no one else will. Pat yourself on the back, lift your head up, and tell yourself to continue moving forward, never looking back. My main desire is to encourage and uplift anyone who is listening and feels the weight of the world on their shoulders and in their hearts. Know this, you are not alone and you are loved. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. Your baby boy has been busy, you know, running to Toronto, coming back, getting ready to kick off this tour. And just, you know, life has been lifing. And so I had not gotten a chance to watch the Peacock's own Traitors, but I had some time on my hands, about 8.5 hours one way, 8.5 hours coming back. And I was able to finish season one of Traitors, and I got to watch the reunion. And listen, with March being Women's Month, what better way than to celebrate a living icon, someone that inspired me to play the game Survivor, someone that has been my biggest idol for forever. And it is so crazy to think that somebody that I looked up to for so long is like family to me. Her son is like a little brother to me. Y'all should know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the queen, the legend, Miss Ceree Fields, okay? Not only her winning Traitors, okay? Ring the bell for that. Let's give it up for her looks, okay? On the Traitor reunion. Let's give it up for her looks on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Okay, my queen is out here serving looks, looking amazing. And finally, okay, being crowned the winner of Traitor Seasons 1. Okay, listen, it took me a while to finally finish it, and I always kept kind of, anytime I would see anything on social media about Traitors, I would scroll through it because I'm like, I want to watch it. It was such a great show. I thought it was like physically demanding, but not too crazy, enough of a social game. And then what caught me by surprise was that, like, you know, towards the second half of the show, you know, the emotions of the people. So it is a really good show. And my queen, my girl, Ceree Fields, won it. It's Women's Month. What better way to celebrate my queen? Somebody that's so inspiring, somebody that's so real. You know how they say, don't ever meet your idols. And, you know, sometimes that gets me a little nervous, but I am so happy that I met Ceree. And she is the woman that I knew that she would be. And it's just literally like she's been in my life my whole life. And we're literally families, okay? All her children, I love. They like my brothers. And so listen, it is March. And if you haven't, head over to Ceree's Instagram page and let her know she is the Purple Pants Freak of the Week. She out here serving looks in pink, looking flawless. I said, you better go off, Ceree. You know, Ceree could be the Freak of the Week every week because that's how much I love Ceree. If Ceree is the Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another amazing podcast. I thank you so much, Purple Pants Posse, for always showing up and supporting your baby boy. If you have not already, please ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you get podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast waits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend to take it easy. Cause it's a.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.